Now, when it comes to hypertension or high blood pressure, lifestyle is always the first line of treatment. So we start with advising people to consume a diet that is lower in salt. And the guidelines that are given is 2,300 milligrams daily. Now, I, as a physician, don't know that I would be able to accurately count the exact amount of salt in my diet, but the general guidelines that I would give to people would be to consume your meals at home. Minimize restaurant food because restaurant food does tend to be higher in salt because that's what makes the food hyperpalatable and makes you addicted and want to keep buying it. And also to watch out for packaged foods and soups and heavy sauces that tend to have a lot of salt in them. Exercise is important. Aerobic exercise in particular is potent in lowering the blood pressure. Weight control. So, losing weight, if you are overweight, will actually lower your blood pressure. A plant-based diet also lowers blood pressure. Consuming more fruits, vegetables, whole grains, nuts, and legumes, and consuming less sweets, sugary beverages, less red meat, and less saturated or trans fats, so less processed foods. Quitting smoking will be potent in lowering the blood pressure and minimizing any alcohol consumption. Now, blood pressure is definitely something that is impacted by diet. So, this demonstrates the risk of having high blood pressure based on your diet. So, meat eaters are most likely to have a diagnosis of hypertension, vegetarians less, and vegans in this study, the Adventist Health Study 2, vegans tended to have the lowest risk of having high blood pressure. Now, there are non-medication ways for preventing and treating high blood pressure, and this is a table that describes some of those things. So, weight loss can lower blood pressure. So, for every kilogram of body weight lost, so about 2.2 pounds, there is typically a 1 millimeter of mercury drop in the systolic blood pressure. A healthy diet, particularly the DASH dietary pattern, which we'll talk about in a moment, also significantly lowers blood pressure, reducing dietary sodium. Consuming more potassium. So, foods that tend to be more potassium, fruits and vegetables tend to have more potassium, and eating these foods helps to also lower the blood pressure. Physical activity, we talked about aerobic activity, but even resistance training or weight lifting can help to lower the blood pressure. And then decreasing alcohol consumption. Now, this slide is a little bit dated because it says men less than 2 drinks daily and women less than 1 drink daily. And really, the advice at this point is less than 1 drink daily for both men and women. Now, back in the day, before there were blood pressure medicines, there was Dr. Walter Kempner's rice diet. So, Dr. Walter Kempner did some research. This is back in the early 1940s when there were no medications available to treat high blood pressure. He put his patients on a diet that consisted of white rice, juice, fruit, and sugar. And patients on this diet saw a very drastic improvement in their blood pressure and a drastic drop in their weight. Other benefits is that their cholesterols were lower. Those who had enlarged hearts as a consequence of high blood pressure had a decrease in their heart size. And there was also reduction in retinopathy or damage to the eyes, which can be a consequence of high blood pressure. Now, what's in this rice diet? So it's almost entirely rice and fruit. It's very low in protein, less than 20 grams of protein per day. Contains about 2 to 3% fat and is exceedingly low in sodium, 150 milligrams of sodium. And on this diet, people were encouraged to exercise. So this is one patient who was put on this diet. So you can see towards the left of the graph in 1945, you can see that his blood pressure was very high. It was hovering around 200 over 120, which is pretty dangerous. he was put on the strict rice diet. And after a few months, his blood pressure came down. He had the luxury of having a quarter of a tomato added daily to his diet. And then as his blood pressure continued to drop, he was permitted an ounce of meat four times a week. And ultimately, over the course of 9 months, his blood pressure was controlled with Dr. Walter Kempner's rice diet. It's a little bit draconian, but it certainly did the trick. These are a couple of Dr. Kempner's patients. You can see what they looked like before and what they looked like after. And the diet clearly led to a very significant loss in weight. Now, the DASH diet eating plan, this was designed as dietary approaches to stop hypertension. And this is the standard recommendation that patients are provided. So patients are asked on a 2000 calorie diet to consume about 6 to 8 servings of grains, 4 to 5 servings of vegetables, 4 to 5 servings of fruits, 2 or 3 servings of low fat or fat free dairy products, 6 or fewer servings of meats, poultry and fish, some nuts, seeds, dried beans and peas, a little bit of fats and oils, and minimal sweets. And this diet has been demonstrated to lower blood pressure. Now, the rationale of this, in their paper about the DASH diet, what the authors say, I find fascinating, is they basically admit that a vegetarian diet is the way to go, but they don't think people can do it. So they say in their paper, the diet design goals were to create patterns that would have the blood pressure lowering benefits of a vegetarian diet, yet contain enough animal products to make them palatable to non-vegetarians. Right. So there are other approaches to treating high blood pressure, and I like to provide these as options to my patients before I provide pills where they may be necessary. So relaxation definitely is potent in lowering the blood pressure. Yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, meditation. There's data that all of these things actually do lower the blood pressure a little bit. Supplements can help to lower the blood pressures. Things like coenzyme Q10, omega-3 fatty acids, L-arginine, hibiscus tea, ground flax seeds. I'm going to briefly talk about blood pressure medications. And the caveat that I give to anybody who I put on a blood pressure medicine is that medicine is never a forever thing. Blood pressure and lifestyle are fluid. And as people may improve their diets, improve their lifestyle, they may not need blood pressure medication. But perhaps at the time that I'm seeing them, their blood pressure is not controlled. And just to be clear, I do have patients who are on whole food plant-based diets who, in spite of their best excellent efforts, they still have high blood pressure and are on medicines to control their blood pressure. Now, the first line of choices for blood pressure typically are thiazide diuretics, so things like hydrochlorothiazide or chlorthalidone. There are other medications called ARBs or ACE inhibitors. These are good choices. Or calcium channel blockers like amlodipine, felodipine, or diltiazem. These are the first line choices. Beyond that, there are other options. There are medicines that are called beta blockers, such as metoprolol or carvedilol, that can be used if another medication is needed, or if there's another condition like congestive heart failure, arrhythmia, or coronary artery disease. Now, my approach to medications for blood pressure is that I typically will start with one medicine, or I'll start with one combination. So it could be a combination of two medicines at low doses, because blood pressure tends to be more responsive to a combination of two lower dose medicines than to one medicine at a high dose. I will gradually increase the dose or add on medication until the blood pressure is controlled. And to be clear, people who are on blood pressure medicine, the average person is on 3 medicines, though certainly blood pressure could be controlled on 2 or even 1 medicine or even with lifestyle alone. Now, medications are to be taken daily. for blood pressure, they're not to be taken as needed. I have patients who come back to me and say, I checked my blood pressure. My blood pressure was good. I didn't take my medicine. But then their blood pressure the next day is high. And so they take their medicines. Their blood pressure yo-yos up and down because they choose not to take their medicine when their blood pressure is under good control. And if you're on a blood pressure medicine, you need to take your medicine every day to keep your blood pressure fairly level and controlled. Now, the goal blood pressure with treatment is 130 over 80. The goal of treatment is not 120 over 80. Now, 120 over 80 or less in a normal person means you don't have high blood pressure, but we don't have data to treat blood pressures to that low of a level. Now, why might the blood pressure not be controlled? If somebody's not taking their medicines, that's pretty obvious. I know often people are hesitant to take medications and often need a fair amount of reassurance that blood pressure medication that they're prescribed is safe. They may not be taking their medications properly. So there are some medicines that might be twice a day and somebody may be taking it only once a day, and that's not going to be effective. A diet that is high in salt, that's going to make blood pressure much harder to control. Pain, anxiety, stress, these are all things that drive up the blood pressure. Sleep apnea. Now, sleep apnea is a condition in which somebody has oxygen levels that drop dangerously low at night while they're sleeping. And as a consequence of these low oxygen levels, there are changes within the body that can increase the risk of arrhythmias such as atrial fibrillation. It can cause a condition called pulmonary hypertension or elevation of pressures within the lungs. And it can actually raise the blood pressures during the day as well. So if there is suspicion that you have sleep apnea, such as that if you're sleepy during the day, if you snore at night, if people notice that you stop breathing or gasp at night, if you urinate frequently at night, those would be signs that you should be tested for sleep apnea. Alcohol consumption. So binge drinking, even just drinking once a week and drinking a whole lot or drinking heavily throughout the week. These are both things that will raise the blood pressure. Weight gain. As we talked about with treating hypertension, weight loss lowers the blood pressure, but weight gain raises the blood pressure. And then overzealous blood pressure checking. I think that some people who tend to be a little bit more anxious will check their blood pressures multiple times per day. I mean, I get the occasional patient who says, well, you know, I was not feeling so good. I had headaches, so I checked my blood pressure and it was high. So then I decided I was going to check my blood pressure 30 minutes later and it was still high. And then I checked my blood pressure 30 minutes later and it was even higher. And it's like, put your blood pressure cuff away for now. And, check your blood pressure again in the morning. And it goes back to the concept of checking the blood pressure at proper times of the day under proper conditions. So making sure that you're relaxed, that you're sitting in a proper place, the heart arm is at heart level, and so forth. So how I get my patients' blood pressures under control, I like to set realistic expectations. I ask my patients to bring readings from home so that I know what their blood pressure is when they're not in my office, because the outcomes of heart attack and stroke are dependent more on what the blood pressure is outside of the doctor's office than what it is inside the doctor's office. I like to make sure that I have an accurate list of all of a patient's medicines and make sure that I'm aware of any medicine that could raise the blood pressure. I also like to make sure that the patient is actually taking the blood pressure medicines that I've prescribed, and because I know that sometimes a pharmacy can make a mistake and dispense the wrong medicine, or they may not dispense their medicine, or they may dispense a medicine that I've discontinued. I like to make sure that a patient's blood pressure cuff is accurate. I'm always eager to have patients bring their blood pressure cuffs in and let us calibrate them in our office to make sure that they are accurate. I assess my patient's compliance and make sure that they're, or at least ask them if they're taking their blood pressure medicine every day, and check to see if there are any side effects that can be attributed to blood pressure medications. And side effects can happen, but there are so many options for blood pressure that we can switch a medicine to something that typically will not cause a significant side effect to a person. With getting blood pressure under control, I'm not going to take somebody who's got sky high blood pressure and get them to a normal blood pressure tomorrow, because lowering the blood pressure rapidly is going to make them feel terrible. The body is in this person used to a very high blood pressure, and we need to get that body gradually lower, accustomed to a lower and more healthy blood pressure. So I will make gradual changes, especially in older people, to their medications to get them to goal. I am somebody who is very vigilant about reinforcing lifestyle choices. So with every visit, we talk about diet, we talk about exercise. And I'm very much somebody who encourages communication between me and my patients, between visits, either with phone calls or through my office patient portal. If somebody is having an issue and feels that their blood pressure medication is causing a problem, I like to know about it before I see them for a visit in the future.